Unlock a new era in podcasting with Unfiltered Studios. Ready to break free from the ordinary? Dive into a world where authenticity meets innovation. Our network isn't just about podcasts. It's a revolution. From nostalgia to movies, sports to self-improvement, find your favorite podcast in an array of diverse shows, only at Unfiltered Studios. Join the movement. Subscribe to Unfiltered Studios today and join the podcasting revolution. Unfiltered Studios, where every voice finds its place. Visit unfpod.com today to find your favorite show.
Unfiltered Studios will help you press record.
And hello, movie lovers, and welcome to the show. I have my good friend Tamika with me. We're here to talk about Beverly Hills Cop 3. So go on ahead and head up on the Ferris wheel, rescue some kids like Axel Foley did in part 3 of Beverly Hills Cop 3. So with further ado, let's go on ahead. Let's get started with the show. It's good to have her here, and let's do it. Hey, Tamika. How are you? Why are you over there jamming?
Oh, we cut the music off. I mean, I'm good.
Because we're here to do a review. We're not here to be listening to the music. We're a movie podcast. I hate to tell you.
Fine.
We're a movie podcast.
Fine.
Okay.
I guess I'm all right.
Now, there is occasionally where I do music stuff. It's just not tonight. We're doing maybe the worst, movie of Beverly Hills Cop 3. We don't know.
No, because you said it was the best movie.
Hold on, that's my nostalgia rating.
Okay. Okay, got it. Okay. I'm sorry, I misheard you.
That's my nostalgia rating.
It was like the best movie.
Okay. Larry says, Wonder Woman, you mean Rufus Rabbit has gone berserko? Yeah, he has gone berserko.
Yes.
So my question is this, Tamika. I know this is your first time, well, maybe second time watching Beverly Hills Cop 3.
Yeah, recently.
So... And your nostalgia rate gone from probably low.
You don't have no nostalgia rating.
Okay.
The only nostalgia rating I have is remembering the making of on Entertainment Tonight.
Okay.
That's bad.
I gotcha. So I'm just going to go on here. I remember it was the, hey, Roxy Berg, how are you? But I wanted to say this, okay? So I remember it was summertime in Boston. I just got out of seeing one movie. My mom and I went to sneak into another movie, which happens to be Beverly Hills Cop 3. And it was actually the very beginning of this movie where the gangsters get shot up with Come and See About Me. And so my mom and I are laughing. And then after that, we found out that my grandfather was there to pick us up from the movie. So I didn't get to see the movie that I snuck into after seeing a full movie from the other movie. So I rented this at Blockbuster. And then I remember just remembering the rides and stuff like that and just the way that it was shot. It felt like I was at Disney World, but also, too, it also felt like I was at Universal Studios, stuff like that, too.
Yeah.
And that's how I remembered as a kid, okay,
I'm sorry. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, so as a kid, me watching this, I would have to say nostalgically it was a 7.5 out of 10 for me, nostalgically. Now, when we go on ahead and remove the nostalgic from it and everything, that's going to be a totally different story. But no, this is going to be an interesting ride. So with further ado, let's go on ahead. Let's break this up scene by scene. We're going to be stripping away the nostalgia. And hey, everyone, welcome back to the podcast. Today, we're talking about Beverly Hills Cop 3, the movie that asked the burning question. Can Axel Foley save the day at a theme park without losing his cool? Spoiler alert, there's a lot of running, a lot of shooting, and more than a few questionable theme park attractions. So grab your badge, your banana, and let's dive into this wild ride. So you got your banana?
No, I got one in my Smoothie King. Oh, sorry, product. We can't show product, sorry.
We can show products. It'll be great.
This podcast is sponsored by Smoothie King.
Also, the big Kahuna Burger.
How you doing?
How you doing? I'm doing good. So let's see. Let's go on ahead. Let's break this down. So one night in Detroit, Axel Foley, Eddie Murphy, plans to arrest a gang of car thieves who run a local chop shop. Unbreakable, here's the thing, to his boss, Inspector G. Douglas Todd, played by Gil Hill, Axel has concealed the SWAT intending to raid the shop, using only his team. Meanwhile, a group of four men arrived at the Chop Shop to pick up a cube van that the car thieves had hijacked. The leader of the group confirms that the vehicle still contains its cargo, which consists of crates labeled as property of the United States government, then has his men execute the car thieves. So the opening scene, this is actually when I went into the movie and seen it, and Axel's like, well, fuck SWAT. I'm just going to go on ahead, and we're going to go do this without SWAT. And then the captain's like, look, I'm just here to observe and everything. So he's finally giving him some leeway. It's like, hey, if everything screws up, this is on you, not on me. And everybody's like, yeah, fuck SWAT. We don't need SWAT. And not enough for this. This is nothing. So then you have the SWAT, the CHOP people dancing to Come See About Me. That was one of the things that made me laugh my ass off at the very beginning as a kid, and just shoving popcorn in my face and thinking that I'm loving it. But this scene seems like the most corniest scene that you can think of in a movie. Anytime when there's dancing or a musical number in an action movie, it takes me out of it. This is also why I didn't like the last Rush Hour movie or anything either, whenever they did that either. Where Jackie Chan comes basically on a tour piece, and he winds up coming up onto the stage and they're dancing and stuff like that with Chris Tucker, dressing like in a gangster outfit. I didn't like that. Too, whenever you see a bunch of gangsters dancing and stuff like that to the Supremes, don't get me wrong, I love the Supremes, but this does not coincide with the tone of what the other two movies were. But the introduction of Axel and stuff like that does. So it's like a mixture of both. But what about for you?
Well, for one thing, you won't forget that scene.
No, you won't. Because I'm forgettable, it'll stick with you like
butter. I thought the song ran on a little too long, and it didn't really match. I mean, maybe Chop Shaws do play.
Every single time I see a Chop Chop, I think of that scene, and they're probably just rocking out with the Supremes every single time.
Mission accomplished. I don't know. Like I thought the beginning was pretty good. You know, Axel just explaining the plan to everybody. Captain being there, I wanted more of the captain. I wanted more banter. I was like, what happened to the captain? He's just gonna let him do it, okay? But yeah, as soon as the gangsters, the ones that wanted the counterfeit money, came in, I was like, okay, all right, who is this smuck? And you know.
What are you gonna do? Hey,
yeah, he came in and I was like, okay, all right, okay, you know, I don't know. It was just okay. Like it was,
yeah.
And now the tone was different from the beginning. From
it was a mixture of both, right? It seemed like it didn't know what it wanted to be. It didn't know its identity of what it wanted to be. Is there a comedy or action comedy, or just a straight up detective movie? It seemed like it wanted to be all three of those things, and it just doesn't mesh up. But once you get into that one part where Axel's like, hey man, I got a chop. I got this car over here. I need to get it chopped up and everything because the bitch ain't working. And it's not working at all. So I need a chop chop. Come on. Can you guys help me? And of course, these people are overdressed to be a chop chop people. Everybody's in Armani suits.
Yes.
They're overdressed to be chop chop people. And next thing you know it too, they also wind up wasting the chop chop, the people that actually work there, the mechanics, before Axel even comes in there. So you have that going on. And, you know, that part actually works because that actually feels like a Beverly Hills Cop flavor to it. Because you have Eddie Murphy doing his banter of what he always does in both Beverly Hills Cop movies. Mm-hmm. But the other stuff just doesn't go together. And then, of course, you have the Wonderland thing going on, too, where they have, like, machine guns. They have towels from the place. They didn't want to know where they come from. They're doing a bad job of us trying to find out. Because they actually have logos with the towels on them telling us who they are.
Yeah, well, it's kind of weird. I don't know if it was smart to... I mean, I know for the plot of the movie, yeah, but to waste all the people in the chop shop. And I'm assuming not money laundering. Yeah, I guess so. But when you need those people to continue your operation, you just killed everybody.
Yeah. Well, they were just the ones who just got the getaway van. So basically, they didn't really need them, even though they did. But these guys did a really good job. I mean, they did their job. They were high-fiving each other, celebrating the fact that they got away with everything. And here comes this rich asshole from this theme park and wastes them. Is this the legal one of them illegal places where they chop up cars? Because I got
an illegal chop shop, one of them illegal places where they chop up the car. Because I got a Buick out here belonging to my wife, and I want to get that shit chopped up because the bitch ain't acting right. You know, something like that.
Yeah, something like that to that effect. Great acting skills, Tamika. Great. But no, as the murderers are about to leave, Axel is unaware of what happened inside. Proceeds with his plan to enter the shop and quickly finds his team outgunned. Todd arrives moments later, shoots down one of the men, only to be shot down himself by the group's leader. As the perpetrators escape in the cube van, an angry Axel gives chase in one of the partially disassembled cars from the shop, successfully maiming in another one of the men with a bullet wound. Only for his boss, who is driving the van, to push him out and get run over by Axel, killing him instantly. Axel is prevented from killing the last two men by Secret Service agent Steve Fulbright, played by Stephen McHady, who intercepts his vehicle. Fulbright informs Axel that the killer must remain on the loose because the federal government is pursuing a larger scheme in which he is involved. I love the whole entire stunts of him chasing after this guy after he kills the captain, and the captain goes, "What the hell are you doing, Foley? You're on a coffee break," and dies. And I was like, this is anticlimactic. We actually had an emotional attachment to this character for two films, and then you just kill him off like that. To be honest with you, it was more fitting on how they killed off the captain in Bad Boys 3 than it was for how they killed this captain off. I would have liked it better in a different type of way, where there was more of a danger aspect for the captain than just, okay, well, we're just going to, some random gangster is going to go on ahead and shoot you. And I don't feel any type of emotional attachment to it. I definitely agree. Big Fluff here. You know what, man? That might be your name or whatever called Big Fluff, but you know what? That is kind of like a fluff piece anyways, if you think about the way he died. So
I thought his last words when dying should have been something more serious. But I couldn't really take his death seriously. Like, Foley, what are you doing? You're on a coffee break. Go get a son of bitches. I'm like, is this acting 101? I know he was like not an actor, but still, he could have said, Foley,
I feel like he's choking on his own blood or something.
You know, like the classic. We're like, Foley, you were a great cop. You know, then I was like,
and you could also say, go get this.
Yeah. And then he could have finished, bitch. He could have said, go get this. Oh, I would have been like, oh my God.
And Axel would have probably stayed there. I don't see him pursuing the guy as much as. Here's the thing. The captain and him always bust each other's balls all the time and stuff like that, too. I don't see him chasing after the dude. Yeah, in a fit of rage, maybe. Yeah, he would. But at the same time, he would actually stay there with the captain, I think. That to me, is would give it more characterization of who the character is versus him chasing after him. But I do laugh my ass off every single time when I see that disassembled car and fully chasing after him and the car is just falling to pieces. It reminds me of those toy models that we used to have as kids from Walmart that thinks that we know how to fix something and we don't, and it just falls to pieces. So that's what it looked like to me. But I just thought it was a funny scene on the way they did that. And then it cuts into the funeral scene after he winds up talking to the FBI agent.
Which I connected to.
Yeah. But let's talk about the FBI agent, though. The FBI agent says, well, I'm sorry, but we're going to have to stop this. Okay, well, where were you when all this stuff went down, because the FBI should have been coming in there before the regular police force and everything too.
True, but I do think sometimes the FBI is rogue. They don't really follow the police. I thought
that, you think that they would have somebody on the inside.
Yeah, I thought that introduction could have been a little bit more smoother. It was kind of like they had
copy and paste.
Unnecessarily cussing. What the fuck is this fuck shit, man? Fuck you, fuck. And I'm like, okay, Axel, I know you cussed.
Right. But let's turn it down a little bit.
We went to the FBI, fuck, what, fuck, FBI, what the fuck, flucka.
What?
And I'm like, ugh.
Awkward. Right. Right. And here's the thing, though, too, okay? So another, now, if they had somebody on the inside and the FBI agent got shot, that would actually say, okay, well, you need to actually put on brakes. We've been investigating this thing for a while. We know that your captain's been murdered, but you're going to have to slow your roll and let us take over this. Then that gives him motivation to go over to Beverly Hills to investigate versus it just being one dimensional.
Yeah. Go ahead, more depth to it.
Right. But whole entire funeral scene, we'll get into that right now. After Todd's funeral, Axel learns that that several clues left behind by the killer point to Wonderworld, a theme park in Beverly Hills, California, owned by Uncle Dave Thornton, played by Alan Young. Axel arrives in Beverly Hills and reunites with his friends Billy Rosewood, who has been promoted to Deputy Director of Operations for Joint Systems Independent Operational Command. DDQ, JSIOC, it means John Flint, Billy's new partner after John Taggart's retirement. Flint calls his friend, Ellis Delwald, the head of Wonderworld's park security, to let them know that Axel's coming to the park for his investigation. So, here's the thing. You get to the funeral, you see his wife, and he goes, Axel, what was my husband's last words? His last words were about you. And she goes, no, what was it? Actually, it was, Axel, get your ass up. Are you on a coffee break? Okay, that's him. Go get that son of a bitch.
Yeah. Had an icy marriage.
Right? That might be why he was so cranky.
Yeah. And he got a young wife, too. I was like, right. I'm going to have a daughter.
But when you see him arrive in Beverly Hills, I definitely like how he rolls up over to the... Well, now, this is actually reminds me of today's time, where it's like, well, press one for this, press two for...
I believe Beverly Hills has that.
Yeah, I believe so, too. But this was ahead of its time, though. This is, like, before smartphones, before it was all telecommunications with just an automated person. It was this, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's just hard to believe how far it has become, you know, with the technology, and then them saying, well, if you want someone off your lawn, press three. And like how Axel's just over there, okay, I'm just gonna get my ass out of the car, and he goes over and sees his friends. But what do you think?
Did the car get towed after that, you think?
I don't know. It doesn't show.
Left it there at the gate. it just Axel. Shows how it reminds me of the differences between Detroit and Beverly Hills cops. Because this scene of Beverly Hills cops, you see how more sophisticated and advanced they're trying to be.
Thank you, Anthony. I do appreciate that. Shout out to the family table talks. But the content. Thank you so much. I do appreciate that.
Yeah, just how sophisticated Beverly Hills is. You know, they got the automated system, press one for this, English, Farsi. I'm like, Farsi, dang.
They put their almost every single
language. Yeah, international language. What's your problem? I mean, jeez.
By the time you get done with it, either you're going to be dead.
Yeah.
Someone's already done robbed the bank.
Yes.
Or... there's no sense of even trying to do it. Look, man, I'm just going to lay here. I'm dead by the time this whole entire thing happens.
But it also shows how far removed they are from the public. You got to go through all of these systems just to get what you need before you enter the police station.
But seeing Rosewood getting promoted and he holds himself to a higher demand now of all this stuff, and he's all geeked out over it.
Yes.
And just, and I like how Axel goes in there, man, look at you. You got the three, you got the three windows. You got you have the office here. You have a office refrigerator. J. Edgar Hoover didn't even have this. All he had was hair curls.
Yeah, I'm like, he made that up off the top of his head. I was like, that's ridiculous. He said that he made it up. He's like, I got the hair curls. Because he laughed at his own joke. I was like, okay. But, you know, he still had his plants. Now, he don't go anywhere without his plants.
No, he doesn't. And but there's no turtles this time. Rosewood doesn't have any turtles.
Big Al's at home. Big Al's still at home.
Big Al probably winded up saying, look, I know this is a box office failure, so I'm just going to go ahead and slow walk myself out of here.
Yeah, I'm just going to go in the corner and die. My God.
Be a savage to a turtle. Okay. But then here's the thing. Now we're introduced to somebody new that we haven't seen in the other two movies. We're introduced to John Flint because the original character retired. Mm-hmm. You know, and I wish they would have put him in there in some way as a cameo character or something, because of the fact that we wanted that. We wanted that banter between Rosewood and him. Because he could be like, look, man, Rosewood, to be honest with you, we wouldn't even need Flint if you think about it. Mm-hmm. All he had to do was like, look, my old partner retired, so let me go over to his house. He might have some connections into Wonderland, and we can probably go together. But no.
Yeah.
Like, what do you think?
The article I sent you, and you can read it later, but I was trying to figure out why this movie was bad. And I know that they said it was from joblo.com. Some of the actors were, they had other obligations, and the script was going through all these hoops and writers, and they couldn't really wait too long. I think originally they wanted everybody back in there, but some people have the movies to do. I mean, Rosewood, they got Judge, oh, I forgot his last name, but Judge
Apatow, right?
The one that plays Rosewood. His name is Judge. I mean, his nickname.
Right.
But
not Judge Dredd.
No.
Judge Reinhold.
Yeah.
There you go.
He stayed, but I mean, he was even saying he probably missed out on some movies he really wanted to do. But
right, instead he winds up being subdued to this.
Yeah. But I think the fourth one that's coming out is maybe the one that Eddie, the closest to the one Eddie wanted to do. Because even Eddie wasn't happy. And you can kind of tell throughout the movie, he was kind of like, it just wasn't himself. Like, he was still funny, but the energy was low, kind of like,
I'm doing the same schnick.
Yeah, I'm just doing this for money. And in the article, he wanted to do a serious movie, which I think maybe he wanted to be kind of like he was in 48 Hours. Like,
right, and that's understandable.
Cop movie without the Detroit jacket. He wanted Axel to mature a little bit more. But
well, he also doesn't want the jacket in the fourth movie either. But he goes, you would think that he would outgrow the jacket.
Yeah.
He was like, they were like, no, you need to keep the jacket. It's iconic.
I understand, but he does look a bit ridiculous with the jacket on at 80.
Yeah, he's got to be a little 70.
I love you, Eddie.
Let's see here. Anthony asked, best Beverly Hills Cop scene.
What's the best scene?
Yeah.
From this movie?
Well, we can do either one, I think. Do you mean, Anthony, are you meaning part three, or are you meaning the other two films, or vice versa? My favorite quote is still going to be, okay, everybody, we gotta go. Max fucked it up for everybody. It's still my favorite line. I'm serious.
I probably have a few, but I know Serge. I think that's how he wanted his
dad. Yeah, I love him.
Serge.
We're going to talk about him in a few minutes. Because
I'm glad he was in this movie because that actually helped me kind of like it.
Same here a little bit. And now if it was just him and Eddie, yeah, I would.
Oh, yeah, I would. If they did a buddy movie, comp movie together, I would watch that and pay all my money.
So what do you think about him going into the park and seeing this theme park? Because I remember as a kid, I was eating it up. I'm like, this is just like Universal Studios. It was just like Disney mixed with Universal. It was like it was trying to be two different theme parks in one park, and it just didn't coincide together. Now that I'm looking at it from adult lenses.
Let me ask you a question, because I've been waiting for this answer.
Okay.
What do you think now?
I'm going to go, once I get done with the nostalgia, okay, the nostalgia rating, I'm going to do a nostalgia rating.
Yeah, okay, we're done with that.
Okay, my nostalgia rating is probably going to be a 7.5.
Okay.
Nostalgically as a kid.
Okay, what about now?
I'm not going to say that until the very end. We're going to get to that.
Okay, what do you think about the theme park now? Is that toward the end too?
No, the theme park right now, this is what I'm telling you. As a kid, I'm eating this up. This is like the best of both worlds. I get Mickey Mouse, and then I also get Universal Studios. Oh, boy. I was very excited.
The mouse is going to come after you. I swear. You're going to get hit by the mouse.
But seeing it as an adult, though, it's like these things don't work together. Okay. They're putting... They have a robot that's supposed to, you can tell this is George Lucas's idea. It's like, sure, let's go on ahead and let's put, no, it'll be a great idea. We'll go on ahead, we'll put a robot that shoots lasers because everybody loves Star Wars. And you know what else would be great? We'll take that and we'll put the earthquake ride into this mix and it'll work. It does not work. And even the woman in the control booth is bored at her job because she let Eddie in as well. But also, too, I liked how Eddie goes over to this might be like later on whenever Eddie goes into the theme park by himself and he has to pay $35 for a ticket. So that's a little bit later. But yeah, it just seems like that she's just bored with her job playing with the animatronics. Look at how that this button does. This button goes on ahead and this floods the whole entire subway system. This tilts the thing a little bit. This robot shoots lasers. Cool, huh?
I don't know that. I would like to be on that ride. I gotta admit to you, that was a good ride. Alien Invasion, whatever it was called. But you asked me, and you know, I'll answer your question. I thought when Eddie was like $35 for a ticket, I was like, Eddie, I wish tickets were $35. Man, you know how many tickets I would get,
right?
$35.
Shoot, I remember going to Disney World in Florida with my grandfather, and I remember us getting tickets and stuff. It was expensive for those times, but now that's like extra expensive. It's like over $200, $300, maybe $500 just to get in now.
People get it. Yeah, you gotta go through secret websites, and Disney even know that they got these poor people coupons for us. You're poor people. Here's 30% off. Jeez. Please, mouse, don't come after me.
Now they're going to be looking at the dark webs for cheaper tickets. But the other thing that I remember, that other thing I told you about that the guy says too, that I ended up asking you about.
Which one?
Hold on, let me find it.
I'll be right here.
I said, Axel was complaining about the price for admissions. The dude was like, well, if you don't like how much this costs, maybe you should go down to Fantasy Park. I'm like, so is Fantasy Park like a porn store or a sex store?
It's not. It's just like a poor people's theme park. The ticket's probably got $10.
Probably $5 to ride the little train that goes around.
It's a corny ride.
Right.
But a carnival ride.
No, it's a Monopoly theme park. That's what it is.
Nothing wrong with that. I like
no.
Rides.
Yeah, we have a $5 zoo as well, so it's all good. I don't go to the zoo in New Orleans.
$5 zoo says $35 too much for you, poor person.
One poor person and one rich person, please.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I mean, even the cops gotta pay. Jeez.
So now Axel meets and befriends Janice Perkins, played by Teresa Randall, torn the park's behind the scenes facilities. Later, he is spotted out by security, shot and attacked hand to hand. Axel retreats to the surface where he cuts in line to enter the Spider Ferris wheel ride. The guards accidentally jam the ride, placing two little kids' lives in danger. Axel rescues them and is subsequently taken to park manager Orion Sanderson, played by John Saxon, and is now in a shared universe with Nightmare on Elm Street. When DeWald is called to contest the claim that Axel was attacked by the security men without prior challenge, Axel immediately recognizes DeWald as Todd's killer, but Rosewood and Flint refuses to believe that claim because DeWald is keeping an impactful public reputation. Yeah, okay, we've seen this before, right?
Okay, so I just came up with a theory, and it's probably been out there for a long time. So John Saxton, the park manager, whatever he is in this movie, so let's say that he was this park manager for Wonder World or Land or whatever it is.
Underworld, yeah.
And he got caught up with all this stuff, but his punishment is to have his daughter and get married, and then Freddie remember and was watching him the whole time, like, oh, you want to play with counterfeit money? I'm going to hunt you and your family, and then I'm going to kill you later on. So I think that his karma was Nightmare on Elm Street for being involved in these activities.
So therefore it gets, okay, so I'm going to go a little bit further down the rabbit hole with this, okay?
Okay, go.
So he winds up getting fired from this place. Now he's in this little small town rut as a sheriff now, instead of being a full-blown security guard.
Yes.
Oh. See?
Yes.
Instead of, that's what he is. He's just working for the shitty sheriff's department in this little small town, being hunted by Freddy.
Yes.
He's in hell, basically. Yes.
Because he was involved with counterfeit money and a children's theme park.
That's another thing, though, too. Like, out of all places, a children's theme park.
Right. I mean, so it is kind of smart cover to have, like, a drug ring or counterfeit money ring or whatever they were doing. The children's theme park.
And using the inks. Yeah.
It would be hard because there's eyes everywhere. Like, you couldn't do this at Disney World because they got eyes everywhere.
Uh-huh. Even in the broken down rides, probably, too.
Yeah, and then they would lock you up and put you in Disney Dungeon and torture you for 1,000 years. Where it's a small world after all.
Don't call Donald for Duck me, is mouse. The person that's whipping your ass all
Don't
the time.
Call for me, mouse. Don't call for me.
But here's the thing, though, okay? So, you know, despite the reputation that this guy has, they're still defending this dude.
Yeah.
And even the other guy, he's like, well, we're still on, right, for golf? I'm like, wait, you actually play golf with this dude? You're just an average Joe who works at a police station, and you're golfing with this dude.
Yeah, I don't know if they fleshed that one out as good. Like, what was this guy's relationship to the cops? Like, he's this a security guard here, but then he said, I was on my yacht. Is he like,
hey, well, he's not a security guard. He's actually the person that basically runs the park. He's the CEO, if you think about it.
Oh, okay.
He's the operational guy. And the other guy is just the manager that that runs the park as well.
Okay, so he's the CEO of park operations or something.
Right. And if you notice, though, like, there's a theme going on with titles, where, like, work titles. Like, Rosewood is this. There's different, if you notice, there's actually a theme going on within this thing about titles and about what each person does and how they handle business.
Sure.
So it's a total different thing if you look at it atmospherically of how different it is compared to the first two Beverly Hills Cops movies. Then whenever Eddie Murphy, whenever you see Axel save those kids from on the Ferris wheel, because those stupid goons was trying to chase after him, and he had to jump through different types of the spider Ferris wheel just to get to the kids because they were falling out. But what did you think of that scene? Because even the operational guy was like, look.
This is Scott Campbell from the Stupid Things for Love podcast. I have a 7-year-old son, and the biggest mountain I climb every day is trying to put shoes on this child. And I'm so grateful to Skechers for making the only shoes my son will willingly put on by himself. Their slip-ons are amazing, and he doesn't have to deal with laces. He doesn't have to deal with anything. They come in the perfect color blue. Thank you, Skechers, the comfort technology company. And you can find Skechers everywhere. Skechers.com, a Skechers store, or wherever stylish footwear is sold.
This thing has to be timed. Once the ride ends, you can get him.
Yeah, and then they're like, I don't care. We need to get Axel. I'm like, okay. You know, I just thought about there's a Jurassic Park themes going on in this movie. That ride, you know, where he rescued the kids, which took way too long for an action movie, because he was like, I'm going to tie the rope around, put it in a bow. I was like,
it's like trying to be Indiana Jones.
Yeah, I like Indiana Jones faster than this. I'm like, dang, we still
not anymore. Look at the Dial of Destiny.
I'm talking about the earlier films when he had bravado and spots.
Right. I got you.
But that one took way too long. It was like an instructional YouTube video. I had to tie a rope around
while crawling up a Ferris wheel.
But when the ride came down and we saw the point of view of it coming down on him and the kids, didn't that remind you of the Jurassic Park with the Jeep?
Yeah, it does. It really does.
Yeah, and he almost didn't get out of there, the stunt man. I was like, ooh, is he going to make it? That was scary. That was the suspense part for me. I was like, oh, geez, that was the only suspense in the film. Is he going to make it?
Also, too, whenever you see him back in the control room with ball bag, douchebag, CEO man.
Oh my God.
And he's okay. Like, how did we know if you didn't go? How did we know that you didn't do this? I'm like, bitch, I seriously don't get you. I really don't. And then especially the security footage from under the tunnel too.
Yeah.
It all goes fuzzy. I'm like, okay, I can understand if it was digital age and everything, it would be totally different, but it's snowy. And then it cuts into something else. You didn't know they're hiding something.
Yeah, because Axel was like, well, who am I shooting at in the film?
Show that shit, does it?
Yeah, and he was like, I don't know, I just see you shooting at, so how you gonna prove that in court? I was like, y'all smug sons of bitches.
So, after all that happens, then we have Axel is later visited by Uncle Dave and Janice, who inform him that the Wonder World Parks designer and Dave's close friend, Roger Fry, that's the second character with the last name of Fry. They can't just let Dave's close friend, Roger Fry, has mysteriously disappeared while inspecting the grounds 2 weeks ago, leaving only a letter with a cryptic message. He tries to heckle DeWald into a revealing his criminal involvement, despite continual admonishments by Agent Flobrant, but DeWald proves too smooth to be caught in a mistake. When Axel later digs deeper into a closed off section of the park, he finds out that DeWald and Sanderson run a counterfeiting ring that uses Wonderworld as a front, and DeWald was at the Chop Chop in Detroit to get his hands on a blank printing paper used for American currency. Axel later meets with Uncle Dave to ask him about further details to find a piece of Bible and evidence, and thereby discovers that Fry's warning letters is actually written on a sheet of stolen mint paper. Before he can make use of the evidence, however, Uncle Dave is shot by DeWald, and Axel is framed for his shooting. So, you know, when Axel goes back into his hotel room, Uncle Dave's there. He goes, "Oh, I'm sorry, I almost shot Uncle Dave."
I was like, okay. I didn't feel no connection to Uncle Dave.
No emotional attachment to any of these characters.
I felt like Uncle Dave should have been introduced in the park earlier.
Yeah.
Because I was like, okay, Uncle Dave, so what? Like, you know how Disney introduced...
Well, he's like a fan... Okay, you want to go to Jurassic Park, right?
Yes.
Even the founder of Jurassic Park was introduced at the park.
Exactly. Beverly Hills Cop 3 is Jurassic Park. The end. Got it.
Okay.
Got it, y'all. The end. Thanks for coming to our show.
No. We're not going to go that deep.
Boom.
But, yeah. But we also forgot to mention the fact, too, that Axel does go to this little party ceremony, too.
Oh, okay, that's my favorite
part. Yeah, go on and break that down.
Yeah. He is some award for... ceremony for whatever his face
DeWald is. Yeah,
DeWald, yeah, it's an award ceremony for him for being like an outstanding citizen, blah blah blah. And then Axel and Rosewood go, and Rosewood like, "I can't believe you're not gonna do nothing, you know this man shot your boss." But it was weird. He was saying, "I can't believe you're not going to do nothing." But then also, he's like, "Axel, don't do anything." I was like, "Which one you want him to do? Now you got to make up your mind when you break that glass for an emergency." You got
right. It's like saying Beetlejuice too many times.
Beetlejuice is here. He got to
right
shit up now. And so he was like, I forgot that guy's first name. Do you know what his first name is?
You're talking about DeWalt?
Yeah.
Or Heckle.
Heckle?
Yep. To Heckle DeWald. To be honest with you, he doesn't even have a first name. It's called DeWald.
Yeah, so he was clapping, you know, like, DeWald! Woo! Yeah, like, give him a round of applause there, right? Come on. And the guy in the audience like, all right, he seems enthusiastic, doesn't he?
I don't hear anybody else.
Hype it up for him. Woo, come on. And he's like, I came to surprise him from Detroit. Then I'm just going to make a citizen's arrest. Or he did it some clever way where he was basically saying that he's going to arrest him. And the guy whispering in his ear like, "Oh, that's why I shot your boss, bitch."
And then that's when Axel winds up
punch him in the face, and then they fall off the stage onto a round table, and everybody's like, "Oh my god, I thought they were friends. He was hyping them up. What happened? Oh my god, let's get some more cocktail shrimp." And then
before that though too, you get to see Serge, and I like how Serge, what are you doing here?
Serge. I was like, okay.
And remember what he says? He goes, "Don't call me that. Don't call me Serge."
Yes. Serge. I was like, okay. And then he's like selling weapons.
Yeah, he's selling weapons. He's got this big old huge machine gun with a boom box, a microwave.
Yeah, no. It was at the gun show, and I was like, wait, is this like a gun show or is this a ceremony? What is this? It's like something for inventors.
It looks like something like a liquid date kind of thing, or some type of, you know, some type of con or something. You know?
It was weird to have a Citizen of the Year award at a convention. Anyway, that part didn't match. But
no, it didn't. It was just there to actually have Serge to have a cameo appearance by Belky. That's all it was.
Hey, girl. Hey.
Hey, baby. Hey, Brandon.
But he was talking that they had the models. You know, he had showed him a video, his commercial with this big giant machine gun or whatever it was.
Yeah.
And he had the models in bikinis. And then he was like, "That's my trainer.
Healing 250 pounds.
Yeah, and she yells at me, but I sneak some goat cheese yogurt sometimes.
I'm not supposed to have it, but you know.
But you know, I'm wearing a suit so nobody notices. Do you think her boobs are real? I don't know. I don't know. I was like, we just come in and on these models with his products.
And then also, too, this other thing that winds up happening, too, is like he's like being Q from 007. That's what Serge is. He comes up with all these gadgets and everything. Just look, if you press these two together, it comes with a blinding light and blinds you. Here, I want you guys to be safe. So here's two for you. Rosewood, you definitely need one.
Yes.
And then he gives one to gives them both their stuff. And then he goes, you know what? I remember the last thing I made for you, Rosewood.
Yeah.
It was coffee. And I forgot what kind of coffee you used because I don't use that anymore. It stains your teeth.
Oh, yes.
Just smile. You see, you got healthy gums.
Oh, yes, yes. He called him at, and I asked him, it's a hell. A hell. I worry about you, a hell. Here, I'll take this little light with you. I was like, and then he took it, and I thought, oh, that's going to be used later on. Did he use that?
What, the, he does. He uses that. We'll get to that in a minute because that happens in the amusement park ride at the very end for the climax of the film.
Okay. Yeah, because I was like, usually when they're giving somebody a prop, it's going to be used later on.
Right.
Okay.
And Axel uses his.
Okay, so that part with Serge and Axel interrupting the guy's speech, that was my favorite part.
Yeah, those were the two best parts in the movie to have Serge back. And whenever he said Serge, I'm thinking of that soda drink that we had back in the early 2000s. You know what I'm talking about? That soda that's supposed to look like Mountain Dew, but it's not Mountain Dew.
Are you talking to me or are you talking to me as Serge?
No, I'm not talking.
I was like, was that in the movie 2000?
No. I'm just having a conversation with
you. Okay. I'm back. I'm sorry. I'm like, are we rolling?
When I hear
Serge, I'm in.
When I hear Serge, I think of that. I actually think of the soda from the early 2000s.
Yes, I love Serge.
It was 99 cents back then. Now it's like $2 and some change now.
That in middle school, it was Surge and nacho Dorito chips together.
Yep. Oh, my God. Remember those.
Oh, it gave me a stomach ache, but it was so good.
But another thing, though, too, is we actually have a hockey team called the Surge at one time, and then it got changed back into the Mississippi Seawolves. But I like the Seawolves better. It just sounds like an energy drink that we're advertising for. But
it
anyway,
like a football team, basically. It doesn't really sound like a hockey team.
But anyways,
I want some Surge. I'm gonna get that on Amazon.
I don't know.
Amazon. Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
But so after all that happens, now we have, however, Axel later visited Uncle Dave and Janice. Okay, we got to that. DeWald was the chop chop in Detroit to get his hands on the bank printing paper used for American. Okay, so what do you think of them discovering now that now this is counterfeit money? Because Rosewood said, was looking at, first Axel looks at his partner and goes, do you have a 50? He goes, man, I got like three kids right now. I haven't seen a $50 in years. He goes, what about you, Rosewood? He goes, do I get it back? Yeah, you're going to get your money back. Let me see. And they wind up discovering it because of the fact that it's the same truck. Remember, they got the call saying that they have a truck. And they wind up finding that something inside the truck, and it happens to be just like loose paper.
Yes. I think I remember that part. I do remember another part. Right. Oh, yeah, that's it. Because then that's what he called SWAT and all the 50 policemen. Right. And that scene. He got everybody in Beach Police and Baywatch, and there, all of them came out there because they were going to open the back of the truck and none was in it but that paper that you talked about.
Right, that's when we find out that it's the sheet of stolen mint paper was actually part of that, you know, with Fry's warning letter is actually written on a sheet of stolen mint paper.
Yes.
But we also have the other thing that happens, though, too, where, you know, you wind up finding out because he's dressed up inside that elephant costume, too, that it's actually operating an illegal operation with counterfeit bills and things like that, too.
I'm sorry. You gotta go back to when he walked in the park with that costume on. And he was encountering those kids.
Those kids were some baby kids.
Yeah. He's like, I forgot the elephant's name. Everybody probably know the elephant's name he played. And then the kid was like, due to such and such truffle.
Yeah, jumble. The hokey pokey shuffle.
Yeah, and then he's like, da da da. Okay, I did. He's like, no, it's this way. I was like, and he did that. I did just one step off. You don't know how to do it. Then he like punched him in the stomach or kicked him some kind of way. I was like,
right. He punches him in the stomach. Then that's when Axel winds up pushing the kid into the water fountain. The little brother's laughing his ass off. The grandmother was about to whip Axel's ass.
I didn't see the grandma again after that scene. No. I thought that they were going to, it felt like they were setting me up for another comedic moment that they didn't give me. When
it's like a cut too Axel fast.
And the other guy were dressed as the same elephant, and then they went their separate ways. I thought I was going to see the other guy get beat up by the grandma in the elephant suit. And I was like, why y'all didn't give us that? Y'all set it up.
Right. Because I wanted to see that, though, too. I wanted to see probably the grandma got mixed up with the other elephant.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But they didn't give it. It's like a quick cut, and then that's it. And then we get into it's like, okay, well, we have this time for this one 30-second thing happens, and then okay, now we got to talk about the counterfeit stuff over here, because that's the main point of our movie. And they go, and that's when he finds out during this the broken down rides and everything that they are doing counterfeiting with the money, with the fake money that they're supposedly, you know what I'm saying, with the inks and stuff.
Yeah.
And then after that, he calls up the FBI. The FBI comes over and to investigate it, and then come to find out, they switch the inks on him, and it's just the play money from the theme park.
Man, I knew something was going to happen because they were a little bit too calm. Like, yeah, let's show them what we're doing. And I was like, okay. And it's just, like you said, that counterfeit money from the theme park. And, you know, the FBI agent was like, okay, well, this time we got to really put you on a plane to Detroit. You're embarrassing the FBI. We're trying to nail this guy. And I was with him, John. I believed in him. You know? I was like, oh, man.
It does look like a straight-edge FBI. If there was, like, anything that was believable, it was the FBI agent.
That guy should have played the villain, the main villain. Well, actually, I think the business suit guy grew on me a little bit.
Throughout the movie.
Played the... I don't know, we're jumping ahead, but when got shot, the theme park.
Right, we're up to that part.
Park creator got shot. He was like, oh, Axel, you came in with this gun and you shot Dave. Pow, pow, Dave is dead. Here, take the gun. I was like, oh, what? Dang. He planned out this whole thing.
That, to me, was the smoothest part of the whole entire thing for me to say, okay, he's got layers to him in a sense, but at the same time, it's too late by that point because most of your crowd, let's say, for instance, we're not watching this at home, right?
Mm-hmm.
We spent money to go to the theaters to see that. By then, it's like, is your audience even here still? Or did they check out? Because if you get to that point where now you're wanting to give us layers to a character, mm-hmm. for us to say, okay, this is going to be the big bad guy,
mm-hmm.
you're too late. You're an hour and 20-something minutes into the movie. You want to show us something different.
Yeah, they added depth to the character toward the end, and I feel like that should have been in the beginning.
Well, it should have been.
Yeah. Because I hated him up until an hour later, and I was like, ooh, this guy's good.
So now, after getting away from DeWald and bringing Uncle Dave to a hospital, Axel sets out to prove his innocence by storming the park, calling Rosewood and Flint to assist him. The resulting shootout kills DeWald's henchmen, and after a hand-to-hand fight, Axel shoots and kills DeWald. During the fight, Sanderson is shot dead in the print shop by Agent Fulbright, who then appears before Axel, explains that he was right. Axel realizes his actual involvement with the counterfeiters and shoots him during a brief struggle. Uncle Dave makes a full recovery. That was fast. And he thanks to Axel for his assistance by creating a new character for Wonder World with his name, Axel Fox. And Axel also begins a relationship with Janice, was forced.
Uncle Dave should have been dead, but I understand to keep him alive. That he shot him three times in the chest, John.
I understand, Tamika, but look, I understand, Dave. I understand. We're going to talk about Dave in a minute, but let's talk about the fact is now Axel wants revenge for a guy that we don't even know about, but Axel has a history with him. He goes over to Balky, Serge, and...
Well, you got to do your mouth weird. Sorry. Go ahead.
And he goes, look, man, I need a gun. He goes, look, look, what about this right here? Everybody's been breathing on it. All I could think of was COVID all of a sudden. I'm like...
It's like people been breathing on this cologne on it. Now I can't give you this. He's like, I don't care. Just give me the gun. It's a prototype. I hell. He said, okay.
And then he winds up.
And it's Corinthian leather gun case.
That thing is huge, too. And you can see him throwing it over the wall of the theme park. And then all of a sudden, he winds up taking it out. He couldn't get the thing to work. You have the boombox coming on. And the guys are just looking at him. And then something comes out of it. Remember when he first... It looks like one of those things you see at Chuck E. Cheese where you're trying to knock it down with a ball or something. You know what I'm talking about. I don't know what the hell that was that came out of the gun.
Well, second, it came out of the gun with Jerry Lewis's voice. And I was like, what is a Jerry Lewis bit? I was like, that gun don't work. Some type of...
It'd be like a prototype.
And then with his shot, like, it became a machine gun. I'm like, oh, did he press level 3? Level 3 is a machine gun.
No, that's a Duke Nukem gun right there.
1 and 2 is the boom box. 3 is the machine gun. 4 is the grenade.
Microwave.
Why? He should have paid attention when he was showing him what all that weapon do.
Yeah. Because he didn't even, there was no instruction manual. He just gave it to him and that was it. Serge didn't even talk to him about it.
Yeah.
He's like, happy trails. Good luck. Whatever happens, happens to you.
Yeah. I mean, he washed it off for him. Yeah.
Yeah, that's about it. But
yeah. I wanted more of, I don't know what Serge's part would be in the fourth movie because I know he's coming back, but I would, like he said, I would like him to be the gadget guy. And all the gadgets be kind of weird, but they work eventually.
Well, they actually do work, believe it or not. I mean, you have, okay, so there's that little exhibit, remember, throughout the park, and then the guy's like, look, I need your keys. Because he holds him, he holds Axel hostage for a minute. He goes, okay, I'll give you my keys. He pushes it together, like Serge tells him to do. There's this blinding light, it blinds him, and then Axel winds up shooting him.
Yes. Yes, I think this should be a series. I mean, Eddie's not doing anything. But I think it should be... I'm sorry, Eddie. I love you. I think it should be a series where him and Sarah are, you know, he's supplying him the weapons, these weird gadgets, and he just saw him in cases. I would love to see that.
Me too. I would like to see him being like an arms dealer that has, you know, all these gadgets that work.
A fancy arms dealer that just sees with his pinky up.
and eats cheese.
Yes. That his trainer doesn't know about, but he loves him some Greek yogurt and cheese, y'all.
But yeah. But then you have the reveal of the FBI agent. I'm like, okay, that came out of left field.
It did. I didn't have any inclinations that he was in on it.
Me either. I'm like, well, what's the motivation behind it? There was no...
Yeah.
I was promised to him, other than the fact that maybe a bribery and that was it. There was like, there was nothing there. There was nothing under on the surface of it.
Yeah, don't the FBI pay good? Why he did this?
It's a government job.
Yeah, right. Don't they pay?
Right. I don't know what the deal is with that. That was just kind of weird.
That was strange.
It should have been someone on the police force.
Yeah.
that should have been paid off, not the FBI. That was just kind of odd to me. And you're running a theme park, so it's not like, you know, and it's actually Dave's theme park at that.
Mm-hmm. Who had no idea what was going on.
No, it's like...
They're like, what's going on? I think Dave should have been the mastermind of it. Now, that would have been a twist. I would have been like, dang, not this sweet old man.
I made this park for these young kids, and all they are is very rude and disrespectful. This generation's going to hell.
Yeah, and that's why...
Now I'm going to destroy my theme park with doing counterfeit money.
Yeah, and I sell the drug lords and stuff like that. I would have liked to see that. But yeah, you said, the FBI, that part could have been left out. He could have came and said, Axel, are you okay? And we got him. Yay, go team.
What do you think of Rosewood, though? Rosewood was a total badass, shooting all those guys, and then he's over there bleeding to death, and he winds up falling over. Axel's laughing his ass off. Then you have Rosewood's partner laughing at him for falling over twice.
Since the second movie, I was not surprised. I was just surprised that they would try Rosewood. I was like, do you know who he is? This is Rosewood. He will kill you with a smile.
Mm-hmm.
I was I don't know why they're doing this. I guess they just want to die. And that goes back to my other theory. My theory from before. There was a Jurassic Park ride. The dinosaur, you know, when they went through the Ice Age and then the dinosaur ride. Yeah. See?
So, they did try to do a... Now, if you think about it, it was a cheap knockoff of Universal Studios.
Yes, it was Universal Studios mixed with Disney World.
Yeah. Yes. It's like, well, we have to have something for the parents, so let's go ahead and incorporate this earthquake ride. Let's go ahead and do a fake Jurassic Park ride. Those animatronics suck, by the way.
Yes. It did. But you know that alien invasion.
40 bucks for that?
I want to ride that ride. But also, when the security guards and they had their shootout scene in Alien Invasion, that was a good scene.
Yeah.
And then he propped the dead man up. He went over there. we can't burn it. They're like, let's kill him, guys. And they run into the waterfall from the ride. I said, man, you gotta see that man got a big hole in his chest.
No. Okay, so now let's go with the ending now. Uncle Dave made a full recovery. Axel now is a mascot called Axel Fox instead of Axel Foley.
Yes.
This feels like a Disney cartoon coming to life. This almost feels like that movie that Pixar made a couple of years ago in 2015. You know the one I'm talking about.
Which one is?
With the rabbit and her... I forgot the name of it, though. But anyways, that's outside the point. But...
Yeah, we'll probably think about it later.
Yeah.
I thought that it was cute. He got a character named after him. But also, it just felt very cheesy. I mean, how did they clean up all those guys? They had bodies everywhere. In that theme park, and they didn't clean it up the next day, and then it's like, everybody like, yay, Uncle Dave's back, yay, the park is open. Because Axel was like, what time the park open?
And nobody knows who Uncle Dave is, because that's the first time he ever showed up.
Yeah.
The entire time.
Yeah. I gotta say, even Disney showed himself. Everybody Disney World. Disney
exactly. World. I can see who's Dave. You know Dave. Everybody knows Dave.
Who shot up?
No. That's different Dave. That's different Dave. Uncle Dave. I don't know Uncle Dave. He's not my uncle. Why should I care?
Well, everybody in this movie know who Uncle Dave is, and they are serious about him. They're like, who shot Uncle Dave? I'm finna crack some heads.
About to go on a revenge on people that was trying to whack Uncle Dave. I can tell you that.
The fireman was like, yeah, you know, Axel Fuller, that fool that shot Uncle Dave. I said, dang.
But yeah, okay, so now that I stripped away my nostalgia for it.
Yes.
I'm going to go on ahead and give it a 3 out of 10.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah,
because yeah, it's fun to see the theme park a little bit and stuff like that. But at the same time, it was trying to be a mix of different things. It did not know what it wanted to be. It didn't know if it wanted to be serious. It didn't know it wanted to be a comedy. It didn't know it wanted to do different things. It was a cookie cutter of a film that doesn't even know its own identity and struggles to find its identity. And then even with the layers of the villain, towards the end of it, you probably lost your audience that was wanting something from Axel. And the only thing we got was Surge, which is actually the best thing on this movie. Mm-hmm. So that's the only positive I can say is Surge, the theme park a little bit, and seeing Rosewood.
Yeah, because Rosewood's part I wasn't even given. Like, their chemistry wasn't even there. I guess that was...
No, there was no chemistry. They work in different departments.
Yeah, I give it like a 4.
Okay.
Because, you know, toward the end, I did kind of like the villain. He was smooth. The theme part still didn't make any sense. When I read that article, the director, whoever wrote it, wanted it to be like Die Hard in a theme park. And I was like, that makes no sense at all.
Like, you know what, though? That makes sense because of what they did with the Spider Ferris wheel ride. Because I could see Bruce Willis doing something like that. So that, I could definitely see the beat for it, but that's the only thing I could see. I don't see anything like that. And Michael Landis is even struggling to make movies to the point where he returned back to making TV series.
Yeah, him and Eddie had something going on. You could definitely see the struggle in the script. And when you read like those articles about what happened with Beverly Hills Cop 3, you can see why it was so disjointed. Like you said, it's like 5 different ideas in this movie. And then
it's like Eddie writing a movie and I have ADHD.
Yeah, that's what this movie was. And Eddie wasn't happy. You could tell he wasn't his jolly self. You tell when actors don't really bring the passion to the roles that they like.
Sure. But this movie had a budget of $70 million, and it only made $119.2 million. Some people say that was a success, but it's not a success. Because if you take a third of that away, because it goes through your PR department, movie theaters make a third of it, and by then it bombed at the movie theater. Mm-hmm. Then you also have, okay, so I wanted to talk about this, okay? The Rotten Tomato score is 11%. And then the audience score is 35%.
That's clear.
And I wanted to go off of what somebody said. Fully unsatisfying, we know every twist, turn, and loop of Beverly Hills Cop 3. This is a wonder roll, the roller coaster we've been on way too many times. And it may be time for Eddie to get off and explore the rest of the park.
Yeah, I think throughout the film, you can see he was like, I'm just want a paycheck.
Yep.
I'm doing this movie and I'm tired of doing Beverly Hills Cop 3. He just looked like, I'm tired of doing this movie. Because even like the scene with him and the villain, usually they play out a little bit longer, right?
Right,
it was like a 5-minute shootout and the villain dead. And I was like, dang, what?
Usually back in the 90s, villains lasted a lot longer with their shootouts and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Look at the movie Heat. That movie lasted forever when we look at the shootouts.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah.
This guy is like, pow, pow, pow. Whoop, dead. Right.
But you know what one person said on IMDb?
What'd they say?
They gave it a 7 out of 10. Spoiler warning. And this is back in 2021 by Classic Sun Call. Mm-hmm. And it says, I love you, okie dokie.
What?
And 12 out of 18 people found that helpful.
What in the world?
But yeah, other than that, though, this go on ahead, check it out for yourselves. I'm not going to tell you not to check it out or anything. That's not my job to do. My job is just going ahead, talk about the nostalgia of it, breaking it down, and then giving you my thoughts, looking at it through adult lenses and doing it that way.
Yeah, it's Paramount Plus.
Yep, it's on Paramount Plus right now, streaming over there. So go in and check it out. I will be back again on Wednesday night with Rossi, and we're going to be doing a Deadpool 1 review.
Ooh. Nice.
And I don't know if we're going to do scene by scene or anything like that, or because of the fact that it came out, you know, I was a little younger whenever it came out or whatever, but I wasn't a kid or anything. So it might just be us just talking about the film. Tomorrow night, though, 8 o'clock Central Time, 9 o'clock Eastern Time, I'm going to be doing the best Johnny Depp movies of all time with Jason and Don. And the way we're going to do it is like an NFL draft kind of bracket style. So that's going to be fun to do. I cannot wait to do this. We did the same thing with the best Leonardo DiCaprio movies of all time. So we're going to do it in this kind of style as well. So join us at 8 o'clock Central Time, 9 o'clock Eastern Time for that. And always until next time, guys, I hope everyone has a great and safe night. Thank you, everyone, in the comments section. Thank you guys so much for doing that. Thank you, Larry. Thank you, Brandy. Thank you, Roxy, Anthony, and even Big Fluff. Thank you for that. I do appreciate it. Also, too, go on ahead, check out Unfiltered Studios. Unfiltered Studios, it's also the network that I'm part of with the podcast. We actually we have Hypno Wellness. We have the Stupid History Minute with Kib. We have Unfiltered Sports. We also have the Sleepy G Show. We also have my show, of course. So go on ahead, check out the Unfiltered Studios family, where you guys get your podcast from. Also, too, that's going to be it for the show. So go on ahead, like, comment, subscribe, and all that other good stuff. Tell me what you guys think of Beverly Hills Cop 3, and we'll catch you guys on the next one.
Stay out of Wonder World.
Remember, Axel Foss is going to find you. Bye-bye.